Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. I'm in NYC, Clay out in Nashville, and telling you about what's going on all across the country. Thank you for being here with us. Make sure you go to clayandbuck.com for any updates, show prep, clips of the show, stories that we're talking about. You can find it all there. And if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeart app, wherever you listen to podcasts. Man, we got a stacked hour right now for you. We're going to dive into the Afghanistan testimony on Capitol Hill. And what I think is the most interesting moment, which is actually not what I'm seeing. Everyone's talking about Biden contradicted by the generals, or the generals contradicting Biden. Yes, that's true. There's something else, though, that I want to get to that I think is far more concerning in many ways. And later on this hour, also in Virginia, Clay's buddy and mine, Matt Walsh, of the Daily Wire, had quite a 60-second speech at a hearing of a school council. Loudoun County, as many of you know, in Virginia, is kind of the front line in some ways of anti-CRT, anti-far-left, woke, LGBTQ plus trans stuff going on for kids. And parents are involved and they're fired up. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Oh, in the third hour, we got Senator Marsha Blackburn and Governor Abbott of Texas. So big guest, great guest in third hour of the show. We'll get there. Afghanistan, though, first. Here's the big takeaway that everyone's throwing out there. As I said, oh, gosh, what was Biden told and what did he decide to do? I thought that this was a more concerning moment in many ways, or perhaps more important for our understanding of the Democrat Party and Democrat leadership going forward. Here is Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Milley, talking about a phone call he had back in the day on January 8th. Okay, January 8th, when Trump's leaving office, Nancy Pelosi called Milley, and by Milley's account under oath here to Congress, here's what he said.
January, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi called me to inquire about the president's ability to launch nuclear weapons. I sought to assure her that nuclear launch is governed by a very specific and deliberate process. She was concerned and made various personal references characterizing the president. I explained to her that the president is the sole nuclear launch authority, but he doesn't launch them alone, and that I am not qualified to determine the mental health of the president of the United States. There are processes, protocols and procedures in place, and I repeatedly assured her there is no chance of an illegal, unauthorized, or accidental launch of nuclear weapons.
Can I just say, Clay, this is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying that Nancy Pelosi wanted reassurance that Trump basically, in a fit of rage, wasn't about to nuke China. I mean, this is the Speaker of the House now, folks. This is Nancy Pelosi wanting that assurance. I don't think the person we had to worry about being crazy was Trump, my friends. I think we all know that.
Well, and this is strange, and I don't know. You may have some understanding of it, Buck. How often is a call like this happening?
Never.
With an opposition member of a different political party for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to even take that call seems very strange to me. I mean, let's leave the same way that we talked about Milley's call, which has in many ways sort of gone under the radar, that call that he had with China, where it felt to me like he was engaging in a form of subterfuge about American interests. Taking phone calls from opposition party leadership when you are serving the president of the United States seems to me to be a super strange activity to be undertaking as well.
She's speaker, you know, she's member of Congress, Speaker of the House. So that, I mean, you know, the same way that they'll use process to justify a lot of this stuff, they'll say this isn't that out of the ordinary. But Clay, the part of this that, I mean, because there's been a lot of focus on Milley and what seemed to be his concern that Trump might do something and had to reassure China. But really in the chain of transmission here, what you see is that Nancy Pelosi was acting like a lunatic, basically.
I mean, I would
believe
love to hear from
that
Pelosi.
Donald Trump was going to order a nuclear first strike on some country because he's in a bad mood because of the election? She really believed that? She needed reassurance? That's like put her in a room with padded walls time.
Well, that's why I would actually be curious to hear from Nancy Pelosi what she was basing that call on. Presumably somebody talked to Nancy Pelosi, and certainly it was in the orange man bad vernacular. But who convinced Nancy Pelosi that the president was a clear and present danger to potentially be launching a nuclear attack on China? And why did she take it seriously enough that she's calling the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to express that concern? And again, a call like this seems so wildly out of sorts and out of normal policy to be occurring. I mean, imagine, just Buck, imagine the reaction from Democrats if Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan, who we had on yesterday, called the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and said, hey, I'm concerned Joe Biden's mental faculties are so bad that he is going to accidentally trigger World War III. Can you assure me you will keep that from happening? Democrats would lose their mind. They would say that we were trying to, that the Republican Party was trying to subvert democracy. They would throw all of those attacks totally. And I think there would be some legitimacy to them because it would be a crazy thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, I had a lot of criticisms of the Obama administration for 8 years. I mean, I was in government at one point during the Obama administration, then I left and was able to be public about it. But I never thought that Obama was about to nuke a country because he was in a bad mood. I mean, and you say these things out loud, but it sounds so stupid. How could we even be talking about this? The point is that Nancy Pelosi, that there are prominent Democrats who, in the same way that they could delude themselves into thinking that Trump worked with the Kremlin in some nefarious plot to steal the 2016 election and Russia was really behind the whole thing, they would believe that after Trump was leaving office, he was going to start a nuclear war. And let's remind ourselves, Trump is the only president in my lifetime who has not started a war, in fact. I mean, Biden's only 1 year into it, but he's the only one that you can think of who you could never accuse of being a warmonger. And yet that was what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Nancy Pelosi were talking about. Clay, it's like these people live on another planet, but we can't just mock them and ignore them because they have a lot of power. And they're scary with how deluded they are.
Imagine what things are going to look like, Buck, if, as you and I both believe is likely, Trump announces that he's going to run for president in 2024, sometime after the midterms in 2022, although he's hinted he may announce earlier than that. Democrats are going to lose their minds anew for two straight years. All of 2023, all of 2024, at the fear that he may get reelected in 2024. I mean, I'm just saying, imagine, as crazy as they got in the first term, if their boogeyman rises up again and is looking like he's going to be the Republican Party nominee, which again, I think he's going to run. And based on the trajectory of the country right now, I think he has a very good chance of winning if he's running against Biden or he's running against Kamala. I don't know who the Democrats could put forward that would be a candidate who could beat Trump. And it feels, this is what I was saying yesterday, Buck, it feels to me in some ways like as Biden descends and falls into increasing ineptitude every single day, that Trump may be a bit helped by just not being Biden, right? Because Biden's entire campaign was, I'm not Donald Trump, right? That's basically, he didn't.
You don't want Trump to bail out a floundering Biden administration by giving them a narrative that they can use as, oh my gosh, there's the boogeyman again. And to your point about Trump running again, I think that's absolutely true. Yes. And how the leftist mind will think of it. You have to remember, I was working at CNN for the 2016 election as a conservative political analyst, right? And they sidelined me as it got closer because, oh my God, Trump might actually win.
Yeah, right.
But they really assumed all along that Trump was not
going to pull it off.
He was a carnival sideshow that got them ratings, but wasn't a serious threat. So there was a shock when he came into office. This time around, the way that they will get the machinery of fear and despair going for liberals, I mean, it's going to be like, you know, somebody's walked into a cafe unvaccinated without a mask on in Williamsburg, New York or something. I mean, they're going to completely lose their mind.
But my point on it, Buck, is are they going to be having more difficulty in because he's banned from social media? Think about how often the shrieking and the running for the hills came out of a Trump tweet or a Trump.
Yeah, but don't you think it was a net positive for him, Clay, to have? I mean, he had 80 million something like that Twitter followers, could take his message directly to his people. I feel like, yeah, like the media would flip out about his tweets, but he had a direct line of communication. I think if you asked Trump, he would say he would want his account access back if he could.
Oh, I think he certainly would say it. But I'm wondering whether, because everybody has an opinion of Trump now. You know, it's hard to attack him. It's hard to build him up. He is a known quantity. And I feel like not having the daily drumbeat of tweets for the people who will decide this election, suburban women, suburban men, I feel like it may actually work in Trump's favor. And also, there's probably a lot of people out there who are saying, hey, remember when mean tweets were the thing we worried about instead of inflation, of the border being open, of massive budget deficits over COVID, you know, craziness, Afghanistan failure? Like, mean tweets seem like a pretty minor thing on the flowchart of concern now that the Biden administration is here.
Also, some of the tweets they said were mean were actually just hilarious. So that's a whole other, you know, there's a comedy that is missing in our politics now because we don't have Trump on center stage. He was he's great with the one-liners. We all know it.
Let's and CNN's the biggest here. Loser. Because nobody watches CNN now.
Yeah, that's true. Let's take a minute and talk with people in this audience contending with everyday pain. The kind of pain that keeps you from taking on a project. The kind of pain that makes you walk really slow in the morning. If you got that kind of pain in your life, you've likely tried a lot of medicines, remedies. Have you tried Relief Factor? Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Created by doctors and based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. And Clay, we both know that Relief Factor goes to the source of inflammation because we have family members who are loving using it.
My wife loves it. She's one of the hundreds of thousands of people who have ordered Relief Factor, and 70% of them go on to order more. She is super healthy. She works out incredibly hard. She also trains others as a workout instructor. And she and Buck's dad and a lot of other people are part of the 500,000 people that have ordered the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com right now, or you can call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us here on the show. Encourage you to go download the podcast. You can give us 5 stars. Make sure you don't miss a single minute of the program, broken down by hour. Also letting you know, a little over a half hour from now, we'll be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee for the absolute latest on the Afghanistan testimony taking place on Capitol Hill, as well as everything surrounding the ongoing budget, what she is hearing about what Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema might be willing to do as it pertains to that issue. Also, we're going to be joined by the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, in the second half of the third hour of the program, right around 2:30 Eastern, to get an update on the situation at the border. In the meantime, we've been talking about all of these crazy mandates coming out of New York City. And I would say the league that has been the most aggressive in terms of trying to mandate its players get vaccinated, even though there's not an official mandate, is the NBA. And New York City and LA will not allow NBA athletes to play in their arenas in those towns. I believe San Francisco as well, if they are not COVID vaccinated. And this is becoming a major issue, particularly in New York with Kyrie Irving, who is a top player. Mayor Bill de Blasio was asked about that. And then there's another crazy additional nugget here that I want to hit you with. But first, let's play cut 7 as Bill de Blasio talks about Kyrie Irving refusing to be vaccinated.
Look, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Nets. I live in Brooklyn. I'm a fan of Kyrie. I would just appeal to him, get vaccinated, support your fans, want to see you. We all want you back. Your teammates want you back. Look, there are teams now that are 100% vaccinated. That's a great example to everyone else.
But no wiggle room for you.
And we have a rule that has to be applied, whether you're famous, whether you're not famous, you know, whether you're an everyday working man or woman, get vaccinated because that's what makes us all safe.
So he's not going to be able to play, Buck. And first of all, vaccination does not make everybody safe. We know that that's not true, even though it continues to be hammered home. But the NBA has now announced, Buck, that if you aren't able to play because you are not vaccinated, they will not pay you your salary. So for Kyrie Irving, every game he did not play in New York would be $400,000 that he is not receiving. Man, now
I got to come back in another life as a top NBA player.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, but this is a really fascinating example of the stakes that are at play here. I'm not sure whether the NBA has the legal authority. For people out there, NBA players sit out of games all the time for non-health related reasons. So the idea that you could fine $400,000, remember, he wouldn't be able to play in over half of all Nets games because he wouldn't be eligible to play anywhere in New York City. And so this is a mess.
And you know what I was thinking when he's doing this? De Blasio, as much as he is an ignorant commie who has ruined my home city as much as he can. I mean, there's still a lot of great stuff here in New York. I still love this place, but you know, it's taken a beating. Not just because of COVID. It's taken a beating because of De Blasio and the idiotic policies of the left. But at least they don't have, at least from what I know, I could be missing something. They don't have the same kind of baked in double standards they do out in L.A. where if you're a celebrity,
actress, the Emmys didn't matter.
You know what I mean? I mean, I guess the Met Gala somehow fell under some, you know, I'd have to look at all the rules.
It's a great
point. But, you know, if you're a famous actor doing a production in Hollywood right now, you basically can get away with being unmasked. I mean, when you actually dig into all these rules, what you find out is that it's not really about health. It's about control, because they'll make exceptions when they want to for whomever they want to, not ever stopping to think. I don't think the virus cares how much revenue you bring in. I don't think the virus cares how connected you are to the mayor's office.
Well, and the most ridiculous example of that, Buck, was when Black Lives Matter protesters, they were allowed. But if you wanted to go and do anything else in groups,
a huge favor, the blue check MD brigade, because if you were a person capable of thinking for oneself, you knew in June of 2020 that the blue check mafia were a bunch of COVID frauds.
There's no doubt. This past weekend, the boroughs of New York City treated to the Tunnel Towers Foundation 5K run. Our own Allie did it. She talked about it yesterday, an emotional celebration of bravery from the volunteers who want to run to the firefighters that choose to run in uniform, making a statement for their brothers and sisters who sacrificed their lives on 9/11 20 years ago. One more event Tunnels to Towers organizes each year to pay homage to our heroes and to raise money to afford their good work. This fall, they'll award 200 homes to 200 families of our heroes, mortgage-free homes to families that have lost a loved one to fighting terrorism. Every day between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you'll watch this organization change the lives of families. The audience has been generous to Tunnel to Towers Foundation since the first day Rush spoke of them. We hope you will continue to support them and all their good work. You can donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have lines open if you want to chat with us. 800-282-2882. So take some of your calls at the back of this hour. Next hour, we got Senator Marsha Blackburn of the great state of Tennessee and Governor Abbott of the equally great state of Texas. And we are going to be talking to them about the border and the budget bill. Well, Marsha Blackburn about the budget bill for sure, and other issues as well. You remember it was just a few months ago when critical race theory was all over the headlines and the left was running for cover. At first, they were saying there is no critical race theory being taught in schools. And then they said, well, you can't know what critical race theory is unless you have a PhD in it. And then they said, well, shut up, you're racist. I mean, that's basically what the progression went on the critical race theory discussion. And parents, it turns out, when they find out, and a lot of it happened because of the Zoom instruction at home, when they find out what their kids are being taught, they get upset because they don't want this leftist indoctrination of wokeness starting at age, you know, 8, 9, 10, something like that. That's what's happening in a lot of these schools. Loudoun County has been on the front lines of this for a while. It's just, it's, and it's interesting because it's actually Loudoun and Fairfax counties next to each other. I lived in D.C. for a number of years. I know these places pretty well. They're affluent compared to the national average in terms of income. These are actually quite wealthy communities overall and skew a little bit Democrat, but they are solidly, when the parents actually get involved, know what's going on, opposed to CRT teaching in school. Well, our buddy Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire, and I haven't gotten the full logistics on this yet, but apparently he has a lease on a property or something in Virginia, so he qualified to go speak at the, he's a Virginia resident. That's all I know is Matt now is apparently a Virginia resident on paper. I'm sure in reality too. But he spoke, he only got 60 seconds, and he spoke at Loudoun County on what he thinks of CRT, and we thought he did a nice job, so we wanted to share it.
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon.
I feel like they probably don't love Matt and that school board, but I think the folks outside cheering for him were fans.
Yeah, look, he lives here in the Nashville area with me, but they changed the rules to ensure who was allowed to speak and who was not allowed to speak. And my understanding is he had to have a proof of property, basically, in the county in order to be able to speak at the hearing at the school board there. But this is part of a bigger picture, Buck, because we have a election going on in Virginia right now. And Democrats, Terry McAuliffe in particular, are getting super nervous that they are going to lose this election. And it would be a massive upset because Virginia has tilted, as you said, towards the Democratic Party over the last decade plus or so. So if Republicans could punch back and Youngkin, who we're going to have on the show at some point, if he could win this election, it would be a major statement going into the midterms. And they had a debate, and I think this is pretty significant because it ties in with what Matt was saying. They had a debate about whether or not parents should be able to be involved in what their kids are hearing inside of their public schools. And I believe we have cut 29 here from that debate, which I think is going to be a pretty significant statement that was made by Terry McAuliffe as he is trying to win, not re-election, because you can only serve one term in Virginia, but he's already been the governor of Virginia. He's trying to become the governor again. Listen to this.
Veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, you stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Oh, I don't think parents should be talking to the schools that their taxes, by the way, support and pay for. Of course, they have no choice in it.
That's a big statement.
This is saying the quiet part for Democrats out very loud for everyone to hear. By the way, Clay, they're already, the Youngkin campaign already running. Remember that election, folks, coming up in November, we'll probably have Glenn Youngkin on in the next few weeks. I've interviewed him before. Super, you know, he was, I think he was the CEO of the Carlyle Group, the private equity firm. So he's a very
he actually
sharp
understands
guy.
How business works, unlike almost every Democrat.
Very, very savvy guy. I think he's got a really interesting political future. And obviously, beating Terry McAuliffe, I mean, I will, you know, support a whole range of folks if it means that Terry McAuliffe gets an L. But think about this. Terry McAuliffe just says it as though, because, you know, this is an unguarded moment where he lets out what he really feels. Like, ugh, these stupid parents telling the school boards what their kids should and shouldn't be taught when it comes to indoctrination. Yeah, dude. The parents should be able to weigh in on what their kids are learning in school.
Yeah, no, my wife, it was a guidance counselor at a public school here in the Tennessee area. And one of the number one things that dictates whether a school is going to be successful or not, Buck, in fact, the number one thing is how involved parents are. So the schools that fail the most are the ones where the parents care the least about what their kids are being instructed. So what McAuliffe argued there is not only saying the quiet part out loud, but Buck, it's actually a direct repudiation of parental involvement in schools, which has been shown to be overwhelmingly important in terms of having a successful school. So I want parents engaged in what their kids are learning. I know we're all busy. I've got young kids in school. I know how challenging it can be to make sure and keep tabs on what your kids are learning. But I think, Buck, to your point, and I think this is true, so many parents were stunned by what they saw their kids learning when remote schooling was going on and everybody was locked down, that many of them said, we've got to fight back.
And the media has tried to come to the aid of the critical race theorists and leftist indoctrination machinery of the public school system in this country. Now, look, I know some areas have public schools that are not doing quite this level of stuff, although it would be surprising to folks, I think, to hear just how many school districts across the country are engaged in teaching some form of what could be called CRT. You know, Chris Rufo, who, of course, you know, the lib education apparatus lives in constant fear of Chris Rufo.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic
job
over
at the Manhattan Institute. He's got data on this. And in America's fastest growing cities, parents oppose critical race theory in the public school curriculum by a massive 42% margin, he writes. A strong majority, this is the other part of it that I think the media really doesn't want people to know, a strong majority of Black and Hispanic parents oppose critical race theory and support removing concepts such as white privilege and systemic racism from the curriculum. This is in direct contravention, by the way, of the conventional corporate media wisdom, which is, you know, only like right-wing Trump supporters oppose critical race theory. No, a lot, just Americans, by firm majorities of all backgrounds, know that they're teaching this poison, this crap in schools.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, this is the thing on the vaccine, Buck, that ties in. They need to make it look like only Trump-supporting white rural rednecks are opposed to vaccine mandates. New York City, the people I see marching, NBA players speaking out, they ain't redneck Trump supporters. That cliche blows up when you actually look at the data. And by the way, what also blows up is making bad decisions when it comes to your cell phone plans. How much money could you save? $800 or more per year with Pure Talk. And they have an unbelievable plan. Same phone number. My 13-year-old has a Pure Talk phone. $30 a month, unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data. It is phenomenal. You can switch to them. As I said, keep your same phone, keep your same phone number, and you will have the Pure Talk 5G network. You will save up to $800 a year, which the Democrats may not think is very much money, but most of us out there know $800 is real money. Buck, how can they do it?
It's so easy. That's one of the great things about this. And also, it's risk-free. Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose, and you've got some real cash to gain here, plus better customer service. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to say, I'm sorry, you'll save 50%. You know what the option, you want to save it. 50% off your first month. That's from your cell phone right now, dial #250, and you'll save 50% off that first month. Again, just from your phone right now, dial #250 and say the words Pure Talk.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We've had a lot of people waiting for a long time to be able to weigh in on a variety of topics we've just had talking about the first couple of hours here. Reminder, we're going to be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn, top of the next hour, and then the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, at 2:30 Eastern, 1:30 Central, 12:30 Mountain, and 11:30 Pacific. I think I just nailed all those time zones. Let's go to, I believe it's Elena in Austin, Texas. Buck, she's got some advice for you.
Okay, Buck. So first of all, mega dittos from a Rush baby. You guys have done such an amazing job. I was worried when Rush passed away, but y'all are awesome.
Thank you.
So Buck, I have to tell you that you're going to have the best time in Tuscaloosa. I have a freshman son there at the University of Alabama. We were just there this past weekend at Innisfree, having the messy chips, having the wings with the Irish gold sauce. You've got to try it. And really wanting to go back this weekend for Ole Miss. But one thing I wanted to tell you, make sure you walk over to the quad. The nicest people, they will welcome you. It is such a fantastic time. And that university rolls out the red carpet for the kids, the parents. They love those kids. They want them there. And that's not really what you get from universities nowadays. So that, I just
awesome.
Really want to tell y'all, y'all are going to love it and just have the best time. Oh, and make sure to sing Dixieland Delight at the game.
Sure to tell your son to come over to Clay. Where's the
Innisfree
party?
Yeah, she said that she's already been there. We'll be live at the Innisfree Pub right in downtown Tuscaloosa. Anybody who is listening right now that will be there or has sons, daughters that might be at the university, we'd love to meet as many of our listeners as we can.
Please, by all means. Thank you so much, Elena. We appreciate it. Mike in Harrisburg, Virginia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Excellent.
What's going on?
It's actually Harrisonburg, Virginia, but close enough. Just want to say I enjoy your show. Also, wanted to let you know that as of a year ago, just a couple of days ago, I was contracted with COVID or diagnosed with COVID, and symptoms weren't too bad. You know, I had the loss of sense of smell and taste, mild symptoms. And so since then, I've kept track over this past year, having multiple blood tests to check for the antibodies. The Virginia Department of Health told me they'd probably last about 3 to 4 months. So January, my wife contracted COVID, and I went and got tested for antibodies. Still had antibodies. I never
okay.
got COVID.
Right.
So I've been tested several times since then. Just a couple weeks ago, I was exposed again. And then last week, I got tested. I got COVID tested as well as tested for the antibodies, and I still have the antibodies a year later, and I am negative for COVID.
Right. Thanks
for the call.
Yeah,
I mean, this is why natural immunity, Buck, we think is so much more valuable based on all the data than the vaccinated immunity. We appreciate the call, Mike. I mean, there's lots of people. I've still got the antibodies.
I got antibodies.
And then you got antibodies for days.
I'm like a walking antibody petri dish over here. Gretchen in Altina. Got to make sure I get the
time. Is Altina in the UP? Where is Altina, Gretchen?
No, Altina is like 90 miles south on Lake Huron. Beautiful place.
Yes,
look at you, the UP reference, though.
My wife is from Michigan. I've been all over the state. The UP,
Tennessee man, Michigan's a little bit of a ways away, okay?
Now, I've got lots of family now in Michigan. I married right. into it.
Gretchen, what do you got for us?
I'm an RN. I work in long-term care, but some of the unsung heroes are the CNAs, the Certified Nursing Assistants. So, you know, they don't get paid well as they should for their jobs, and they've gone through a lot with this pandemic, and we've been shorthanded. They're working 16 hours a day, probably 4 out of their 5 days a week, you know, so I'm like, what are they going to do about this crisis? They talk about nurses, but what about the people who actually have the most hands-on care with people in long-term facilities? Rehab facility too.
It's a great point. It's a great point, Gretchen. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges here about vaccine mandates in general, Buck, is many of these places have staffing shortages already. And now you're going to mandate that many of these employees be fired, thereby worsening what was already a shortage. It's just that was the conversation we were having yesterday about Governor Kathy Hochul. And I think Jason in Saratoga, New York wants to weigh in, but it's a fundamentally stupid and deranged business plan, if nothing else.
But you have to remember they see this as they're almost there. Look at the de Blasio logic. In the last week, it's gone from in the 80s to in the low 90s for vaccinated personnel. And also, they believe, you have to think about, you know, you got to mirror image this from like the other side of the chessboard for a second. The lockdown Fauciite loons like de Blasio and Hochul believe that you have a safer workplace when you get rid of the unvaccinated and have vaccinated replacing them or people getting the shot under duress, right? So they're actually getting what they want in all of this, Clay, which is part of the problem. Where I don't think we're going to see enough of a backlash that other states are going to say they will stop this or they won't do this.
It's fascinating. Jason in Saratoga, New York wanted to weigh in on this situation.
Hey, guys. Congratulations, and thank you for doing a good job.
Appreciate that.
Hey, so nobody's been, I haven't heard anybody talk about it, even our local morning guy. Governor Hochul stated in one of her press conferences that every person that is either a patient or a citizen has the right to know that they're completely 100% protected when they go to, you know, a hospital or a doctor's office, you know.
Yeah, thanks for we're coming up against it, but I think his point is, as we come up to finish the hour, there is no guarantee of protection because people who are vaccinated can also spread the virus.
Right.
So the entire logic of her argument that people who are needing health care deserve to know they're protected doesn't apply even for vaccinated.
You're never protected enough. As far as the Fauciites are concerned, you've never masked up enough. You've never social distanced enough. Pretty crazy.
Senator Marsha Blyburn next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.